All right, guys, it's your Saturday podcast. Of course, it is brought to you by our friends at Iowa Pork. The Iowa Pork producers are good friends of ours here at Cyclone Fanatic. It was great last weekend on the long Memorial Day weekend. We had a lot of you guys who were listening to the Saturday podcast, tweeting us pictures of the pork that you were grilling, smoking, all that good stuff. We encourage you to continue doing that at Cyclone Fanatic. You can tweet at me, at Chris Williams. Chris M. Williams, that is. Excuse me. It's fun to see, and it gives me, selfishly, some recipe ideas. Did you know over 141,000 jobs created by the pork industry in the state of Iowa in 2017? It was a busy week, a busy short week at Cyclone Fanatic. I felt like this week just was a monster, Jared, with the... with the Lindell Wigginton decision that lasted all day on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then I had the Matt Campbell interview on Thursday. It's been a crazy week.
The Lindell Wigginton thing, I was thinking about this on, like, in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
You and I were together for a while during the day. And then after I was going home, I was walking home, and I was thinking, man, I don't know if I can remember a time where we were flying so blind into a story like this big.
Yeah. Usually we have a hint.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just like, we had no clue what he was going to end up doing. I don't think anybody had any clue, really, what he was going to end up doing.
The funny part about it was that I kept having, like, all of these people texting me.
Yeah.
Like, wanting, like, inside information. And I was like, I swear, guys, I don't have it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what I'd
be interested to know even when the coaches knew. Like, really, really knew.
I would guess around middle of the afternoon on Wednesday is what I'm gathering.
Yeah. So not even that long probably before everybody else did.
Absolutely not.
Which is pretty crazy.
I mean, yeah, it really did go down to the wire. It's not something people are just saying.
So do you think why do you think that was? Do you think that he was having discussions with somebody? Or do you think that he was waiting maybe to hold out to see other people, whether or not they were going to stay in? And then he was going to try and be one of the last people, like, making a play off of the other moves?
Potentially, yeah. I think all that stuff. I think he really was looking for a way to go.
Yeah.
And he probably did wait till the last minute strategically because of that. I think that it's the thing. I was conversing with some guys in the forums before the decision was made. It's just you've got to the game has evolved. Recruiting has evolved. We have to evolve as fans as well.
Yeah.
And not every guy – I use this specific example. Not every guy is Melvin Edgem.
Right.
Who shows up as like a 4.0 student coming out of prep school who – Melvin was going to be here for 4 years, and he was great because he developed into an all-Big 12 player, and he was an awesome teammate. And I'm not saying Lindell isn't, but Lindell came here as a stepping stone to the NBA.
Yeah.
That's
what it's always been.
And Talen Horton Tucker is probably going to be the same way.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Zion Griffin probably has that in his head too.
I mean, I think you think back to guys like Monte. Like, after his sophomore year, I would have not believed that he'd be here for all 4 years. I would have seen it, made it harder to believe, I think, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. Absolutely.
And that's not anything like, oh, I didn't think Monte was going to get his degree or something like that. It's just just seemed the most realistic thing.
So my point is, like, that I just think fans need, not all fans.
Yeah.
But you have to look at, like, every circumstance. And if you want to start getting these top-level guys like Lindell, generally – they view it differently than the guys Iowa State is used to.
Right. Well, and that's why, like, to national media people, it's more shocking when not specifically Lindell, because I think everybody was – the consensus that was that he probably needed to come back. But some of those guys, like, you think about, like, a Malik Newman,
yeah,
who started off at Mississippi State. When he went to college, if anyone would have ever known that he would end up spending 3 years playing college basketball, they would have been shocked, you know? Because he was that level of a recruit, and it was like, there's no way that guy's going to be around for long enough to make that kind of an impact on two different schools at the end of the day, you know? And Iowa State has just historically not gotten guys like that. And Lindell and, like you mentioned, Talen Horton Tucker, they're closer to that level. They're still not on that same level yet of being guys that are, you know, firmly in the one-and-done mindset.
Yeah, they're not Aiden from
– Yeah, or Trey Young.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, people that you knew, they were coming for 1 year.
But they're tweeners.
Yeah. They're close. They're at that point where you can have a good enough freshman year to where you can see the path to being a one-and-done it's possible. You know, whereas you look at a guy like George Condit, where if George Condit comes in and goes one and done, everybody's like, wait, what the hell just happened? You know?
Yeah.
Like, this is those guys are close enough to being in that range where they can make enough improvement as a freshman to eventually have that happen, and it's plausible, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's something that if Iowa State's going to continue to recruit at a high level, people are going to have to realize that that's going to happen more and more.
Yeah. Man, I just think that there's got to be a sweet spot for Iowa State just because you're not going to hit on those guys.
I feel like that could be their sweet spot, though.
Really?
The guys who are just below being the highest level.
Man,
if you can get one of those guys in a class and you get three more guys who
are
in the solid
range. But my whole
point,
look at the history of Iowa State basketball recruiting. Like, they don't get that player very often.
But they also haven't gone to six straight NCAA tournaments before.
Yeah, well, you better rebound this year.
Well, do you get what I'm kind of saying?
Yeah, I do. But I also look at what they're doing in 2019, and it's like I don't see a guy like that being.
When did they get their first commitment last year? Zion Griffin.
Was it Zion?
Yeah, and it was like the first week of August.
Yeah, but who are they even in on? Like, is a guy like that this year? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they struck when the iron was hot to get those guys, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And they may need to, after getting dead last in the conference last year.
See, but I still think
I think you play out a very compelling case, and it'd be great if they could do that. My fear is that it's just hard to sustain. And, like, to be honest, we don't really look at who's the elite recruiter on the staff right now.
I don't know. I mean,
D-Rob,
there is one.
Daniel Robinson pulled in Tucker, which was great, and he's really good in Chicago. So yeah. maybe that's that niche that you continue to work on. Prohm really does a lot of recruiting, unlike the previous staff. The head coach is heavily involved.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're right. If you could do that, I think it'd be fantastic. But I also think that the real deal Iowa State's got to have a way to do is get developed for your guys. I mean, Niang, Thomas, Naz,
Monte,
Melvin. I mean, you think of all the players during that run, the transfers get so much credit, but it was really the four-year guys who were.
Right.
And oftentimes these tweener guys that we're talking about, they have no intention of being here for 4 years.
See, and I think, I mean, if I was creating a map of the college basketball landscape, mm-hmm. you know, based on prestige, I would put Iowa State in that tier, not with the top of the top, but they'd be in that second tier of guys, of being able to get one of those dudes who is right on the fringe of being a bottom level 5-star to being a top level 4-star. Mm-hmm. But then you fill out the rest of the class with the guys that are the Zion Griffins that are, you know, in or right around the top 100, mm-hmm. but they're not who you would consider to be an elite guy. You know, they're somebody that you have to develop them for them to really maximize what they're going to be able to do as a collegiate player. Even with Lindell, I don't know exactly when this was, but I can remember you and I sitting together when we found out that they were going after him. And it was late mm-hmm. in comparison to when a lot of this
stuff
was happening.
I didn't think they would get him, yeah.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Even then, we looked at it, and it's like, man, like, it's hard to imagine that that's going to happen.
Steve's all about relationships.
Yeah.
And it just takes, you know, if it's a mom, a dad, a handler, the kid, man, you get in there. Steve's a very contagious guy when you get him, you know, one-on-one.
Yeah.
I am interested about 2019, though, and beyond. They won't take another grad transfer post ever.
No.
I can promise you that. It had to be the right guy. like a Moody or something like that, is a guard. Yeah, I'm just there's some kids down in Kansas City that they're in on right now. It's interesting. They need to win again though. Like they gotta, because that those kids forget about the 6-year NCAA tournament streak pretty quickly.
Yeah. I mean, Oklahoma still went and got Trae Young when he was when they finished what last in the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
Yeah. Anyways, what's your starting lineup next year? Not what do you think? What should it be?
For the 12,000th time.
Mine's evolved.
Has it?
I've got.
Do you want it? Do you want mine on day one, or do you want mine on?
No. What? Who are the five best players?
All right.
And I know what Prohm will do.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that's the five best players. So.
All right. Mine's Lindell, THT, Shayok, Jacobson, and Lard.
Okay, I would replace Jacobson with Babb.
Okay.
And go small.
You're going real small.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to play Babb at the four.
No.
I go Lindell.
This is positionless basketball.
Lindell, Babb, Shayok, or THT, Shayok, and Lard.
That's
my team.
You better hope that Lindell can shoot threes at the same pace that he did this past year, and that Shayok can shoot the three a little bit.
I think Shayok can shoot the three.
There's going to be a whole lot of clogging the lane with that group.
But you think Jacobson's going to be a three-point shooter?
I think we've seen Jacobson shoot the three a little bit.
He shot 17% at Nebraska.
He didn't play in an offense that is exactly...
Well, yeah, but he shot 17%. It's not like he's Kevin Durant out there.
Well, no, I'm not saying that he is, but he's going to shoot the three at a higher percentage, I think, than Solomon Young will. Nick Babb doesn't even want to shoot a three. He catches the ball at the three-point line, takes one dribble to get right inside the three-point line.
I think Shayok is the guy who...
It will hinge on him.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I agree with that. I think that he...
I'm not saying...
He at least shot for
Porzingis or anything like
that. Decent percentage at Virginia, and he was in a junk system, too, for offense.
Yeah. Hey, he's the Cap City League's all-time leading scorer for a single season.
Shayok is?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah. He broke the record last year.
I didn't know that. I didn't go to a single Cap City League game last year.
You missed out.
It was boring last year. There's nothing going on.
Yeah, it'll be way more exciting this year.
This year's going to be like one of the old time.
See, the problem is that they're now it's gotten to the point where it's so inconsistent of when the guys are there, you know?
Yeah.
Like whether or not they'll be there.
And it spooks fans like not wanting to drive to it.
Right.
That's my deal because it's so far out. I mean, you know, I live in Bon Durant.
Yeah, you're telling me.
And it's out in West Des Moines.
Yeah. Get all the way out to Valley Southwoods find out that nobody's there.
Oh, it's the worst. They're only playing one night a week this year, right?
I think they will play a couple times on whatever, however it was before, what it was at Thursdays or something like that.
Yeah.
But then they will mostly only play on Sunday nights, I believe.
Just a little news from yesterday out of the Big 12. Big 12 announced its revenue distribution for the 2017 season. Really good numbers. We knew this was coming. We didn't know what the numbers would be, but every school is getting $36.5 million. So that's a comfortable third place for the Big 12, with the Pac-12 being around like $30.9 million. The ACC all the way down there, but 26.6 million.
See, and what makes the Big 12 being comfortably in third impressive is of those top three, they're the only ones without their own network.
Well, yeah, but then if you factor in, so like the Longhorn Network would put Texas over 50 million.
Yeah.
And then Oklahoma has a significant deal with somebody. They'll be up close to 50 million. Kansas and West Virginia each have good third tier deals. Psych wants TV, I think. There's really hard to get information on that, but I've heard before the numbers around $1 million, but they use that more for like promotional stuff than anything.
Yeah.
But that's interesting news. I'm super interested to see what happens out in the Pac-12. We don't need to get into a whole realignment deal, but it's a really interesting game of politics that's going on out there.
So if you're going to – I know you're the realignment guru.
That's my thing. I love it.
And we've talked about the potential of if they were ever going – if the Pac-12 ever really got in serious trouble of like a merger of sorts, Pac-12 and the Big 12, doing some stuff. How do you think that would work? How do you think that that would be situated?
It would be a super conference with two divisions.
Would they try and pull in whatever, like 10 more schools to make it 32 and then you could cut it into four?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they would grow any.
So maybe they just keep it at 22?
You might add BYU and Boise.
I was thinking BYU, Boise, Gonzaga. They don't play football, but...
Yeah, they wouldn't do that. Just because the football is what drives the money.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you add Boise and you add BYU to get to 24. And you split it geographically.
In threes?
Maybe. And you have one giant television contract.
Yeah.
Which would make it the key there. What's interesting about that is it's a conference that goes across four time zones.
Actually, almost cut it in fours and make it, and then you have some sort of thing at the end of the year where it's.
I almost think too though that Colorado State gets a nod or Air Force gets a nod before Boise. Boise's academics are really sketch.
Are they? I don't know much about the Boise academic system.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've crawled through all these things. They're just Boise doesn't have the mystique that it did. I think that that's worn off.
See, this is something that I think would be interesting, where if you could cut it into four and then you go into the regular season with like the last 2 weeks of the year or the last week, whoever you're going to play in the last week is not determined until part of the season has been played out.
Yeah.
And then you match them up based on rankings, and then that's how you play. You just decide your champion. Whatever the conference
that's a good idea.
Are.
That'd be interesting.
Like the top team in each division, somehow they figure it out to where each division, like, they'll play each other, and then the winners of those games will play in the championship game the next week, which would be the traditional championship Saturday.
Yeah. No, that's good. I don't know. Part of me thinks that there's more of a chance that the Big 12 can, like, poach the Pac-12.
Yeah. Just take a couple teams.
It'll be the Arizona schools.
I was just going to say, the ones in Arizona.
Because they don't really necessarily fit with everybody else.
Will they just keep it at 12 then?
Yeah, I don't know. I find it hard to believe, though, that there's no Pac-12 in some capacity.
Yeah.
I mean...
It's a long-standing conference.
Well, yeah, and that area of the country has to be served somewhere.
Yeah.
We're just not going to quit playing football because...
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't see, like, Oregon and UCLA and USC and, like, all these other schools, like, playing, not playing against schools on the coast, you know? Arizona's not really on the coast like that. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and then the private California schools...
Yeah.
Like, thumbing their nose in the air at the Arizona schools is... problematic from what I've understood.
That's Stanford and USC, right?
And Berkeley, Cal.
I don't think Cal Berkeley is.
They're not?
No, I think that's a state school.
Oh, okay.
I think UCLA and Cal are both state schools.
Cal.
Because that was part of the thing when it came out this week that the California legislature wants to put a cap on the coaching salaries.
Yeah, you're right. Good job. Public Research University, founded in 1868. The home of Darius McNeil.
Yeah. Man.
Shout out to Coach Brohm. He's got to be feeling a lot better, though, this week.
I would hope so.
Compared to, like, when that McNeil deal went down last year to now. Yeah. He had a good day.
That was about this time last year.
It was. Yeah. I remember it was right around the Preakness. Because yeah, I remember I was at Prairie Meadows when that happened.
Well, I was in Clarinda when I first heard about it. Because I remember I called you. You might have actually been on the air.
I tried
to call you, and you're like, what do you need? I'm on the air. I was like, dude, I think Darius McNeil is getting out of his letter of intent.
Yep.
And then it was like an hour later.
Yeah, I remember that conversation. The NBA Finals moves on tomorrow.
Do we need to take a break?
Yeah, we do need to take a break.
Yeah.
Good job on that. We'll take a quick break here. Hear from a sponsor. Hello, friends. We'll get you back to the Psycho and Fanatic podcast here in just a minute. This is Chris Williams, and I want to tell you guys about a great experience I recently had. Mine was up at Ames Eye Clinic. Now, the same guys, Dr. Kruger and the crew, are also down in Des Moines, so we've got a lot of options for you here. But I had lunch with Dr. Kruger, and I was telling him about some of the symptoms that I had had. I was having headaches all the time. I felt like I needed in the back of my neck. It was weird. It was like stiff all the time. I noticed I was having problems reading up close. It was weird. Went in, had my eyes checked, and sure enough, I had some issues going on that I never even thought of. I never had to wear glasses as a kid. You get a little bit older. They hooked me up with some glasses that I use now when I'm looking at my computer screen all day working here at Psycho and Fanatic. Headaches have not completely gone away, but they've gotten a lot better. If you're like me, you probably haven't had your eyes checked in years. It had been over a decade since I had. I'm really glad that I went in there. Most insurance, it's going to work because they can code it, that it's health. There's a lot of different things that can happen with that. I'd love for you guys to give them a shot. Ames Eye Clinic. It's up on 10th Street. If you are in Des Moines, it's over on 2600 Grand Avenue. They will hook you up. Awesome guys. They're big Cyclone fans and proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and they've helped me a lot. All right, here back today to our newest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast. All right, we're back. Now we'll talk a little NBA Finals. Here on the Saturday podcast, we're presented by Iowa Pork. I am so – the air is out of the balloon after game one. I got nothing left in the tank.
I have never been more – angry with a marginally important athlete than I was.
Were you more mad at J.R. Smith or just the refs in general?
I was mad at J.R. Smith. You're a professional athlete.
Yeah, I know.
You learned to pay attention to the score in like fourth grade.
I know.
This is ridiculous.
The ref deal is debatable.
The charge thing?
Yeah.
You mean? Yeah.
I was more annoyed. Why in the hell did Tristan Thompson get run?
Well, yeah. That was all weird. Like, everything that happened after the JR thing, after the charge, was weird. Really.
So I interviewed Cato Kaelin yesterday.
Yeah.
Cato and I were talking about it. And he's like, yeah, I don't watch the NBA anymore. I think it's all rigged. Like, Cato, you know, he's a famous actor out in L.A., right?
Yeah.
He thinks it's all rigged.
I'd be interested to know more of Cato Kaelin's thoughts on life.
No, Cato, I find it hard to believe that game is like rigged against LeBron James. That doesn't make any sense at all.
I would have thought it was rigged towards him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that doesn't make sense. However, would that ever have happened to Jordan? Like a judgment call gets taken to the monitor. Like, I guess there wasn't even – they didn't do that stuff back then.
See, that's one of the – that's one of those
moments. I don't know, man. Like, my wind is out of the sails. I'm done. I'll watch these games, but emotionally I'm just spent.
See, that's – the thing that bothered me was that we took all this time for them to go to the monitor – when in reality, I think the only thing they can actually look at is whether or not he's in the arc, in the restricted area, which he clearly was not in the restricted area.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
And I think even
was
when
it?
No, he was way outside of it.
That's what annoyed me about that, like even taking it, because it shouldn't have even gone there.
Right. And so if we're going to go to the monitor and review whether or not a guy is set for a charge, why can't we review every foul call? Like, if that's what you, if that's what they're going to try and do, like, that didn't make any sense to me. Besides the fact that I thought, even when you watched it on the review, that it still looked like he was in legal guarding position to be set for to take a charge. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I get annoyed. This is my one annoyance with replay, because in general, I'm a replay guy. I like to just get it right, and maybe they got it right. That's fine. But, like...
But I don't think they did.
Well, things look different in slow motion.
Yeah.
And, like, my biggest pet peeve is when people show me, like, a still shot of something.
I just hate the fact that when you go and watch the clip that many times, you can talk yourself into anything.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. Just let it be what it was when you watched it in real time, and then go back and look at where his feet are.
In real time, it looked like a charge.
It was a charge.
But there's the other side of it. I agree with you, okay? And you're right. Like, I can be talked into it being a block.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
If you show it to me in slow motion enough times.
It's just like when, I mean, if the ball's tipped out of bounds and, you know, you watch it in real time and you're dead set, this is what the call was.
Yeah.
Both officials were calling that a charge. They knew that was a charge.
This is a joke, man.
Yeah, and the fact that they went to the monitor to review that was ridiculous to me.
Absolute joke.
But J.R. Smith made two of the stupidest plays that we're ever going to see this year. I mean, maybe we'll ever see in the next 10 years in basketball. First, when he tried to go for the steal to end the first half, and when Steph Curry's catching the ball, and he fires a three, blows the roof off Oracle Arena, a place that you definitely don't want to blow the roof off of, and... All of a sudden, the Cavs had like a 9-point lead before halftime. You go into half tied because JR tried to jump a pass to the best shooter in history of basketball. And then to not know what the score is. And I don't care what he says afterwards that he says he knew what the score was. You can clearly see after it happens that he says that he thought they were ahead.
He was lying.
Yeah. And it makes no sense, man. I don't get it.
He was just lying. Lord.
It's over.
See, now I'm fired up again.
They're getting sweet. They're getting swept now.
Think so?
Yeah, it's over.
Well, overtime was nothing but a formality last night, you can tell. And then LeBron was all pissy. And
well, when he walked off the podium, I probably would have walked off the podium too. Like, I was asking stupid-ass questions. There's not many times when I'm, like, legit going to side with the person who's walking off the podium for the questions being asked.
LeBron doesn't do that very often.
Right.
Like, I'm fine with him.
But for LeBron to be like, no, like, I don't know what he's thinking. Like, nobody knows what J.R. Smith is thinking in that moment when he dribbles the ball out.
Yeah. Jeez. Oh, man. What a night. What a night. Well,
you got any plans for the weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to be around. My wife's off this weekend. We never have weekends off together. So I'm going to be landscaping.
Okay. Sounds like fun.
Yeah. Be landscaping in the back. It does sound like some rain today. So hopefully I can avoid that. But then we're just going to hang out and get stuff done around the house. Something you'll learn someday. Bed Bath & Beyond.
Maybe go to Home Depot.
We don't know if I'll have enough.
Yeah, don't know if I'll have enough time.
Yeah, it's going to be a straight, like, whatever my wife tells me to do type of weekend. Oh, I'm going to go to Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you were telling me about that.
I'm going to head to Comic-Con for a while.
Are you gonna dress up?
No.
Why
I'll
not?
Probably wear, like, a Superman t-shirt just so I can somewhat fit in.
You should dress
or
up
a
as,
WWE
you should
shirt.
Dress up as the main character from Freddy Got Fingered. I've never seen that movie, but I know that's your favorite movie.
Why would I do that for Comic-Con?
What is... I don't know. Why is the main character from American Pie here?
Because he's Henry Rowan Gardner from Rookie of the Year.
What does that have to do with Comic-Con?
And he gave me a book that he co-wrote.
Oh.
He wrote a comic book. That's why
okay.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't follow Comic-Con.
They have, like, actors from, like, just, like... pop culture.
I don't
like,
know much about Comic-Con.
The American Pie being... I mean, have you seen all those?
Yes, I've seen all
those. Well, but you're a lot younger. So
yeah, I've seen them.
I mean, those things were so huge.
Yeah, those are four of my favorite movies, I guess.
Yeah, I liked them all. Like, I mean, they kind of teetered off there towards the end, but I thought they were all funny.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. After you're going to lose a little bit when everybody gets a little older, like in a movie like that.
Yeah. Stifler kept it going, though.
It just never made sense to me when they made the wedding one. Like, they didn't have the whole cast there.
Yeah, I didn't.
And they just completely ignored the fact that the whole cast wasn't there. That's kind of odd.
Yeah. All right, man.
Now we've got through our analysis of the American Pie movies.
Yeah, there you go. Check that out. If you guys want to hear that interview, it was actually a lot of fun. That and Kato Kaelin came into the...
Did OJ do it?
I don't know.
Did you ask
him? I didn't hammer him on that.
Okay.
He's way too good of a guy to go down that dark alley with.
I guarantee that's what he does in like 65% of the interviews.
I know, and that's why I think he enjoyed ours, because we didn't make him do that stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, he's Jared Stansberry. I'm Chris Williams. Thanks for listening to this week's Saturday podcast. We are, as always, presented by our friends at Iowa Pork. Going off to the grocery store today, I would highly encourage you guys to pick up a good Iowa chop. Put some barbecue sauce on that. Maybe you mix up your own seasoning. I like to do that. Just mix it all together. Oh, yeah. Blooms came over on Thursday night, and I made up some Iowa chops.
I had some Iowa pork roast last night. Nice. Right out of the slow cooker.
From that lady who lives next door to you?
No, I made it myself.
Oh, wow. You actually cook?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.